We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And, folks, do you know what the real problem, Joe, with the Trump indictment? Well, let me tell you, Michael Lesher, he knows what the real problem is. So, folks, and I think most of you do too, but here it is. Michael's going to let you know.
The real trouble with the Trump indictment. By Michael Lesher at brownstone.org. The first thing we do, says Dick the Butcher in Shakespeare's early history play Henry VI, Part 2, let's kill all the lawyers. In Shakespeare's telling, Dick the Butcher is a notorious bully, and when he calls for the murder of lawyers, he's playing a leading role in a revolt against the legitimate king. So Justice John Paul Stevens probably got it right when, in a 1985 opinion, he interpreted the line as an indirect defense of the legal profession. Shakespeare insightfully realized that disposing of lawyers is a step in the direction of a totalitarian form of government. Well, so it is, and Stevens also realized that you don't actually have to kill all the lawyers in order to dispose of them, least of all when the bulk of the profession appears more than happy to dispose of itself. But I doubt whether Stevens or anyone else anticipated the insouciance of the Georgia district attorney turned totalitarian activist who, by indicting Donald Trump and at least four of his lawyers on racketeering charges this month, has devised a breathtakingly simple way to make lawyers vanish, just send them to jail, along with their clients, for advocating a legal theory of which the Democratic Party disapproves. And yes, that is the racketeering alleged in this so-called indictment. The felonies of which Trump and his associates stand accused in Fulton County, Georgia, are the challenges they made to the results of the 2020 presidential election. No bribes, no hidden skullduggery, no usurpation of political office for private gain. No, the alleged conspiracy is all about Trump's unsuccessful efforts to persuade officials that the election results were marred by irregularities and, as a result, should not be certified as a matter of law. That is all. Forget the media frenzy about the details, who spoke with whom and when, which Trump advisor is being charged for which debunked claim, and so on. The important point about this indictment is that lawyers are being charged with felonies for doing legal work. An American prosecutor is criminalizing the legal profession, a business that can only end with this totalitarian form of government whose first steps Justice Stevens identified with the elimination of lawyers. I really wish someone in the business would tell Ms. Fani Willis, who is currently basking in her 15 minutes of media glory as the prosecutorial JL to Trump's this era, that if you make it a felony to offer unsuccessful legal arguments, you make it virtually impossible to offer original legal arguments at all. But then, I've often wished that mainstream media had the backbone to speak out against the prosecution of Julian Assange, on the grounds that if Assange is locked up for doing what all investigative journalists do, there won't be any more investigative journalism. And yet our popular journalists clearly don't give a hoot about the destruction of journalism, so long as it's done in the service of the powers that be. And apparently they feel the same way about prosecuting lawyers for doing what lawyers have always done. Just think of Clarence Darrow's Nietzsche made them do it argument on behalf of Leopold and Loeb, so long as it's Donald Trump's head on the block. The New York Times has just printed a guest essay calling Ms. Willis's 98-page travesty brilliant. A2, brute? But the real news is the cowardice of the nation's lawyers. They should be rising up en masse to denounce the indictment, just as all reporters and their editors should be shouting from the rooftops in support of Assange. After all, every lawyer has a duty to protect the legal system from subversion. And whatever you think of Trump, I personally think little of him. This indictment is an unconscionable attempt to strip the electoral process of judicial oversight by criminalizing unpopular legal challenges to election results. Peel away all the flatulent rhetoric and the tedious repetition of details, and what's left of the indictment is the claim that Trump and his lawyers are criminals because, and only because, they offered the government and the courts an unpersuasive legal theory for challenging the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. If they can be convicted for that, the rule of law in the U.S. political system is at an end. It's that simple and that serious. Mind you, I hold no brief for the particular arguments these lawyers, Kenneth Casebro, John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, 8 Al, actually presented. Their case was a makeshift assortment of dubious legal theories and sketchy facts, and I'm not surprised that it failed. In fact, I wouldn't have been surprised if Trump and company had been required to pay the legal fees of their adversaries in court, a remedy the law provides when lawyers' arguments are more creative than credible. But it's one thing for a judge to reject some lawyer's last-ditch effort to protect their client's position. It's an entirely different matter to threaten them with racketeering convictions because they offended a powerful political organization, in this case, the Democratic Party. Legal debates and defeats are part of a healthy democratic society. Criminalizing legal challenges to political processes is a weapon of the sworn enemies of constitutional government, whether their names are Dick the Butcher, Adolf Hitler, Joe Biden, or Fannie Willis. Does that sound too harsh? Well, consider the paragraphs in Willis's indictment about the attempt of Trump's lawyers to persuade Vice President Mike Pence to refuse to certify the votes cast for Biden by members of the Electoral College. According to the indictment, that effort, because it contradicted elements of the so-called Vote Counting Act, was nothing less than a criminal undertaking in furtherance of a racketeering conspiracy. But where would that leave those members of Congress who in January 2001 tried to persuade Vice President Al Gore to reject the Electoral College's votes in favor of George W. Bush? That effort, too, was illegal because the petitions presented by the congressional representatives lacked the signature of a United States senator. One congresswoman actually stated that she didn't care whether her petition carried the needed signature, to which the vice president pithily replied, "Well, the law does care." But no one in the press called the Democrats' petitions fakes or forgeries, no one accused the Democratic representatives of trying to steal the election, and no one dreamed of charging any of them with felonies for making a doomed last stand against an election they thought had been unfairly decided. But you can't have it both ways. If Trump, Giuliani, Eastman, and Casebro are criminals because they urged Mike Pence to overlook the formalities of the law in 2021, then all those Democrats who presented anti-Bush petitions on the floor of Congress in 2001 were criminals too. And the next lawyer who considers a legal objection to some future election result will know that he may face arrest and a felony indictment if the prevailing powers later declare his arguments debunked. Can a democratic electoral process survive in an environment that punishes legal challenges to perceived irregularities? I don't know of a single commentator who has claimed that elections can be trusted to govern themselves without any sort of judicial oversight. And judicial oversight depends, necessarily, on the availability of private legal action. So where are the throngs of angry lawyers denouncing the Willis indictment? Where are the Bar Association presidents, who until now have had a public opinion on just about every subject? Where are the law professors publishing op-eds in mainstream periodicals to warn us of the threat this indictment poses to the constitutional structure of the republic? One clue to their silence may be found in the Times guest essay I mentioned already, the one that managed to masquerade 98 pages of political hack work as brilliant legal argumentation. That essay links the impending legal battle in Fulton County to the show trial staged by the so-called January 6th committee, a travesty I've written about before. The comparison is instructive. The January 6th committee publicized its conclusions even before its proceedings officially began, and among those conclusions was the demonization of any effort to challenge the 2020 presidential election as an attack on the nation itself. Ms. Willis probably intends to conduct her own show trial in similar fashion, and the liberal press is clearly prepared to go along. Not many lawyers are eager to be pilloried in mainstream media as traitors or subversives. But I think there is another reason, and to understand it, one needs to understand the political indoctrination of the U.S. legal profession, a process that has only intensified over the last two decades. as a glut of lawyers made finding legal jobs increasingly difficult, bar associations and other lawyers' organizations, nearly all of which inclined to the left, seized the opportunity to impose ideological tests as a way of winnowing out, or at least marginalizing, lawyers with undesirable opinions. The effects have been all too obvious. Thus, a recent panel discussion sponsored by the New York City Bar Association about authoritarianism and lawyers never mentioned the appending of representative democracy during the COVID coup or President Biden's flagrant violations of the Nuremberg Code. Instead, the speakers lamented the fact that some New York lawyers had actually supported Trump's re-election campaign. This week, the same organization is advertising an event premised on the idea that lawyers can and should play a greater role in combating climate change. In other words, wherever mainstream liberalism prevails, lawyers are expected to be cogs in the machinery that is steadily pushing us all closer to totalitarianism. And the indoctrination seems to be working. Few lawyers objected to the January 6th committee show trial, and so far, at least, one can count on the fingers of one hand the lawyers who have called the Willis indictment what it is, a blatant attack on constitutional government. Maybe some of those silent lawyers are privately displeased about what is happening, and are hoping that if they wait a bit the whole thing will go away. But I'm afraid any such hope is dangerously misguided. The totalitarians are not backing down, on the contrary, they have gained confidence and momentum over the last 3 years. All the terror tactics and democracy destruction we've witnessed since 2020 is likely only to accelerate under a series of new pretexts: another virus, climate change, a purported rise in hate speech, white supremacism. The list can be extended almost infinitely. So there isn't going to be a better time to register an objection. If you care about the integrity of the U.S. legal system, and especially if you're a lawyer yourself, as I am, now is the time to speak up. If we wait until Trump's lawyers are all in jail, we may find we've waited too long. Yes, today it is Trump's orange head on the block. But tomorrow we may all find ourselves threatened with prosecution for saying the wrong thing, supporting the wrong cause, or even thinking the wrong thoughts. And when our modern equivalent of Dick the Butcher thunders, let's kill all the lawyers. Where will we be if the prospective dictator he's advising can look back at him and say, lawyers? What lawyers?
Alrighty, we are back. Now, Joe, one of the places, where did Michael Lesher really, where did he get it the most wrong? When he made the statement that, if it was frivolous, that Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do it anyway. He didn't have the authority to certify. That's what he was saying. Right. Now, who was it that just recently came out and made a Freudian slip and admitted that he had the authority to certify that? It was Mike Pence.
Well, I was told by you that it was one Mike Pence himself.
That's right, because Mike
and told the truth.
Mike Pence had said, had I not certified it, then it would have gone to the House of Representatives. It would have gone to, in other words, see, that was the law.
It's supposed to have gone. Wait, that's where it's supposed to go, to the House. That's the purpose. The founders put that in expressively.
Yeah, so now here, that was an admission that he had the authority to do that. If he'd have done the right thing, because he didn't do the right thing, Mike Pence will be known, again, for the rest of his life, he'll be known that when it really counted, when the time came up, he failed to have the courage to move. He did the very same thing on another occasion. Do you remember when he was governor of Indiana? And they passed that same-sex marriage bill. Mike Pence said, I will never sign that bill. And what did they do? They put some pressure on him, and Mike caved in. He caved in under the pressure, and he signed the bill. And so here now, he said that he had the authority. Now, but let me ask you this.
So
if he didn't have the authority, if he didn't have the authority, why was it then Right after that, the Democrats changed the rules. If Mike did not have the authority, why did the Democrats immediately afterwards change the rules so that the vice president would not have the authority? You see...
Now, Pastor, come on. You're using logic and common sense. Don't you realize that's not allowed in this world?
Yes,
logic
but...
and common sense are they're verboten is the German word. We mustn't go there.
Well, I'm one of those guys...
We're going to the Christian resistance, so that's exactly where we're going, right?
That's right. I'm one of those guys when Joe Biden says you've got to get the dumb shot. By the way, folks, from now on, from here on out, that shot will be referred to as the dumb shot or the dumb vax. Okay, remember this. When they tell you...
The poison poke. We're going to change it from that to the dumb vax?
Yeah, because you got to be dumb to get that, right? You've really got to be dumb. With all the people that have died, they estimate that eight times as many people died from the vax than has died from the COVID. And so... that tells me you got to be dumb to get that, right? And the people that are still dying, myocarditis and that. What have we just did? We just did an article here just recently. An amazing amount of 250,000 children died from have died from myocarditis, children. And, that wasn't happening before the vax came out, Joe.
No, so, it was. In fact, there's some headlines that came out tonight. 99% of COVID deaths not primarily caused by the virus, CDC data shows. In the week ending 19 August, COVID was the primary cause, and just 1.7% of virus deaths. Of all viral deaths, COVID was the cause in only 1.7. And so this is the CDC. They came out, there was 324 COVID deaths registered in the week ending, and that had the coronavirus as the primary. What they've done, they've gotten a little more honest, because now they're saying that, let's say you went in the hospital with a heart disease, and you had COVID. Well, COVID would now be listed as the secondary cause of death because the virus put too much stress on a person with a pre-existing heart, and it could have been the cold, the flu, pneumonia, anything else that killed. So the primary cause of death would be heart disease, and COVID would only be a contributing cause. Remember back, they did not do that. They listed anybody. If you had that one guy had a bullet in him, and he died by COVID, remember? And another car accident was death by COVID. They were recording anybody that tested positive to have died of COVID. So, they lied to us. Now you can see where they're trying to sneaky change things so it doesn't look so bad. I just love the way the government just, you never can trust them on anything.
Well, Joe, when they tell you, look, if you die or you go to the hospital and they tell you that you have COVID, the amount of money the hospital gets to treat you is 20 times more than normal. Then
right.
Guess what? The hospitals are going to find out everybody's got COVID. Okay. And that's
everybody that they had that died did have COVID, right? It seemed like anybody went in the hospital, you died of COVID.
Yep, absolutely.
That's called money. The love of money is the root of all evil, God says, and he knows what he's talking about.
And so out of this whole thing, what came out? People lost all confidence in the medical. They lost all confidence in the AMA. I was talking... and there was a doctor referring to this. The doctor couldn't look me in the eye, okay? Couldn't look me in the eye because here you have the AMA now when they tell you that they will no longer put male or female on birth certificates because they they're not sure that there are two genders, male and female. That, you know, everybody's binary, Joe. Okay. Now, Joe, you know what? If you go to, say, a Christian school today, and you ask every single third grader how many genders there are, everyone will tell you there's two genders, male and female. They know that, right? You can't do that today so much in the public school because those kids, they're not sure what they're... A lot of those kids aren't sure if they're boys or girls, okay? Their poor little minds have been molested by these very, very sick predator teachers out there today. And so... Not in all. I'm not saying that all the public school teachers are that way. A lot of them are in there trying to help the kids, but it's a very sick thing.
There's an awful lot that are there that, well, we see. I've got probably a stack of stories about teacher student sex. We've talked about it over the years. Why pedophiles like children, and whether they're school teachers, nursery school. Attendance, whether they're, Catholic priests, you name it, they tend to go and put themselves in places where they are surrounded by their attraction. We call them, now they call themselves, you know, minor attracted people, right?
Well, yeah, that's what they want to change that. The Democratic Party, it is flush with pedophiles. I mean, anybody that's anybody in the Democratic Party today, anyone who's anyone is a pedophile. They're involved with that. This is their Jeffrey Epstein people. Now, here, Joe, 22,400 children are missing in a child trafficking cover-up. That's right. And we're talking about this thing with Lahaina there in Hawaii. Before the fire, four schools in Lahaina served over 3,000 students. A week after the area was devastated, only 400 Lahaina students were enrolled in other schools, with more than 200 doing virtual learning. That left at least 2,400 children unaccounted for. And this is not good. Of course, we know about the child sex trafficking cover-up. There's just so much of that happening today.
That number again is over 2,000 in all. We've done how many stories like this of missing children, large numbers, large groups, and I don't know what's wrong with this country. People used to get mad at things. They used to stand up and, you know, speak out and take stands, and it seems like everybody now is ignorant or apathetic, and they all want to go put their head in the sand.
Well, not everybody, Joe. There's
not everybody.
There's pushback.
Too many people.
There's a lot of pushback coming. You know, these lawyers, okay, out there that are afraid to stand up and be counted, you know, the ones that are afraid, you know, like if they don't, if these people, like Big Fanny, if Big Fanny gets away with what she wants to do, Big Fanny Willis, then those lawyers go to jail. What's going to happen is to these other lawyers, they're going to say, hey, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to stick my neck out because there's a problem, you know, within the Association of Lawyers like there is in the pulpits. There's an extreme dearth of courage. There's an extreme dearth of courage out there today. Now, there will be some bold ones, okay, like Jay Sekulow and some of the others that are going to say, you know what, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to stick to my guns, okay? Just like, you know, there's some bold pastors out there that said, no, I don't care. I'm not going to be like the prissy preachers. I'm going to do the right thing. Well, one of the things that I have noticed is recently, it's not near what it should be, not even close to it, but there's been an increase of pastors that are speaking out, that are finally finding enough courage to stand up and speak out. Again, like I said, it's not nearly what it should be, but there's an increase over what it has been recently. And so, Joe, I think you're starting to see a lot of pushback and within the collective, within the deep state woke, they're starting to panic out there, They are really starting to panic out there. They're feeling a drumbeat of the American people where enough is enough. They're going to have a much harder time, I think, this time trying to force people the masks on people. I think a lot of your what we will do, we will organize any of the grocery stores that go with that. We will again picket the grocery stores. You know, we did before. We went after a number of them, okay, that insisted you wear the masks. And what happened was, as a result, we picketed them. When we after the pickets, they didn't change their so-called position. Yet when we went in their stores without masks on, they didn't say anything. In other words, they looked the other way because they didn't like the fact that they were being picketed by people. And so I think what you're going to see, there's a big pushback against the woke. I think it's coming here. The woke is going to have a stroke, I think. And so
I think a lot of people maybe finally they've had enough where they're getting angry. They're actually getting angry and realizing the danger, and I think it's become so obvious that they can no longer just hide. And this is what I'm counting on, that it was, what's the old saying, the straw that broke the camel's back. They pushed too far, too fast, and they have awakened the sleeping giant.
Yep, you're right. The Kennesaw State University election hacks in Georgia, how the FBI never investigated and turned on the whistleblowers. In other words, instead of the FBI investigate the election fraud involved in the Georgia KSU, what they did is they went after the whistleblowers for you know, so why? Well, because the FBI has been weaponized against the people. But now they're starting to have a major revolt within the ranks of the FBI. And Chris Wray is becoming, you know, this is the time when it comes to a time like this where you have people like Chris Wray and Merrick Garland, when they, to save their own skin, they'll start turning over on each other, won't they?
I sure hope so, because it's normally what happens, that after somebody starts to really face some real punishment, they start to do anything to avoid it. And they make sweetheart deals by fingering everybody else.
So do you think if Hillary puts the word out, you remember what happened to Jeffrey Epstein? Remember, if Hillary puts the word out, usually where there's people become at room temperature like that, Hillary's somewhere around, involved in that. But so if she puts the word out, remember Epstein, fellas, do you think that'll keep people like Garland and people like Chris Wray, from turning over on each other?
It's a good question. It's hard for me to comprehend somebody as evil as Merrick Garland, you know, where he just lies, flaunts the law, constitution, everything that he's supposed to hold sacred. So I have no idea what an evil person like he would do.
If you were a lawyer, a defense attorney, and you had to prove that at some time in his life, Merrick Garland had told the truth, would you take the case or say that would be over too hard to prove?
About a year or two worth of discovery to try and find that. Somewhere there might be, you know, that we could find that, but I'd want a lot of time.
Now, this woman in D.C., if she pulls this stunt to take Trump in there, because we know that Trump has got, in D.C., if he goes to there, he has got absolutely zero. The D.C. District of Crime is so completely corrupt. It's totally corrupted. So if he gets that case there, if they can't move that case out of D.C., and it would probably have to have the Supreme Court involved in that to do that, then what do you think? Because I don't think the American, even a lot of the Democrats are saying it's going over the top now, and we're seeing that for the black and Hispanic population, they're moving over to Trump, and so they're going to have an even harder time, I think, getting Antifa and the others to riot. But hang tight, we'll be right back after this.
I feel so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared till I go to heaven, or as I feared, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
I am, he said. That's right. And folks, that was not you, Obama. Okay. Alrighty. Hey, guess what? Jo Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs is having a sale from now, a Labor Day sale, on her real actual medicines, real natural medicines that God gave us. Not pharmacia. These are natural medicines that God gave us, not the drugs that Big Pharma that gave us, okay? The pharmacia gave us. So she's having this till September 4th, and 25% off the regular price. And you can find out more about it by going up to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or you can call 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And you can look at her all real natural medicine. Real, you know, actually, medicine, Joe, that cures the ailment, not treats the symptoms.
The symptoms. What a thought. What a development, right?
Yeah. We're kind of living in a strange world today, aren't we? Okay.
Yeah. Finally, right. Come around. Well, the scripture says the old paths are the best.
Let's open phone lines at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We'll have a chance to take maybe one or two, maybe even three calls, okay?
All right. I want to do a quick thank you to my home state of Missouri. Missouri law now banning gender-changing treatments for minors takes effect today. One law, the state prohibits minors from starting puberty blockers, hormones, makes the surgeries illegal. And the other law, the student-athletes from kindergarten through college are required to play sports on teams that align with their birth assigned sex. Thank you, Missouri. I'd like to have other states follow suit and go and do likewise.
We have similar legislation here in Ohio, Joe, but it's the rhinos that are blocking us on it. Okay, and so, you know, in other words, they're going to the side of those perverted individuals, those evil, wicked, perverted individuals that want to mutilate these little children. Follow the money, huh?
Yeah, follow the money.
And so,
and you will see who's getting rewarded for selling themselves and their vote.
The Great Reset, Joe. You heard about the Great Reset? Well, the globalist climate organization's goal is to ban meat, Joe, dairy products, and private vehicles in at least 14 major U.S. cities by 2030.
Yep. They sure are. I mean, you know, hey, they want the world pristine for them, for the rich, for the affluent, and they figure the rest of us will be happy with what we're allowed to have.
Well, what they want to do is give you the bugs, Joe. They want you to eat bugs.
Yeah, we're supposed to eat the bugs, right.
Right. And so,
but I'll bet you Klaus Schwab and those very rich people on the World Economic Forum, I'll bet they won't be eating bugs. I bet they'll be eating lobster and oysters and, you know, fine things.
That's because to them, hypocrisy is something to be embraced.
Yes.
That's the way it is within the collective, within the deep state. In-depth abortion. This is an article of the Epoch Times. The abortion, transgender services, communion, and the transition of Catholic Church and leadership. It looks like more and more within the Catholic Church are selling out. They're selling their people out and going pro-abortion and pro-transgender. And they're following the Pope. And so, there you go.
Yeah. Well, speaking of something with religion, a story that didn't get any attention. You know, Russia, China, India, Iran, several other countries are forming BRICS. They're trying to set up a new world currency to replace the dollar and for buying energy for oil and natural gas and all this. And we hardly ever talk about it, but India sided with them. Now, what's so important about that is a headline that I don't know if you've heard about. And this was on the London Daily Mail and some other European papers.
We'll go with Norma first.
What? Yeah. Well, yeah. India's made history. They landed on the moon's south pole for the first time, beating Russia, China, and the United States. They were the first nation on Earth to land on the south pole, and they call it the Chandrayaan. Three, the soft landing on that really hard place to get to, and they were running experiments, including an analysis of the mineral composition of the lunar surface, and India, you know, this was a big deal. They beat out the powerful nations. Now, that says they have a lot of advanced technology in space, in math, in rocketeering, and they are now working with Russia and China and Iran. this is very frightening, and it has not gotten any attention, and I hear nobody talking about it. And I thought maybe we ought to mention it to our listeners. I wonder why the media is so silent on this. What are they afraid of?
Oh, George Soros. They'll do what the George Soros, and they'll do what they're told. That's what the so-called mainstream media does. But let's take a call. Let's go out to Norma. Norma, you're in the air. Hello. Are you there?
Hello. Yes.
Hello. Hello. You're in the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Pastor Ernie, I've been listening to you for like over a year, and you always give an invitation to give your life to Christ. How many times are we to do that? Is it every day or...
No, once you do it, when you give that, when you pray the sinner's prayer to the Lord,
yes.
You only have to do it once. You just have to do
just
it once.
Once.
Yep.
Okay, because when I hear
Christ
you,
only
I
died
always
once.
Yes. Okay, but I every time I listen to you Monday through Friday, I always say the prayer with you or with Pastor Hal.
Well, that it doesn't hurt you to do that, to pray to the Lord. I mean, God loves mm-hmm. to hear your prayer, but that means that when you're doing that you're being there's a movement within by the Holy Spirit to get you to do that. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I often will pray. I don't often pray the sinner's prayer, but I do pray to the Lord continuously and thank Him for all of the blessings, thank Him for the gift of salvation.
Yes.
But,
If we know somebody who's sinning or committing adultery and it's not right, should I keep silent? Or I don't want to point fingers at them, but I would like to tell them. I mean, how should I tell them that this is wrong?
Well, what I always do is I tell them what God's Word, the Bible says. You know, you just tell them, do you know that the God's Word, the Bible says that, well, abortion is murder. Did you know that? To kill the children, that you'd be better off.
Yes.
And then I would tell them, you know, that the sin of sodomy, LGBTQ, according to God's Word, the Bible, is a horrible sin, okay? And
yes.
People that promote that sin are in danger. The Bible says they're in danger of hellfire.
Yes, because I heard you say you don't want to die in your sin, so you should repent.
Absolutely.
And then you can just add to that that there are many other sins like adultery that send people to hell, and that we must all but repent. And repent means turn from the wicked path and turn toward Christ and start being more Christ-like.
Absolutely. We got to move on, Norma.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And let's go to Timothy. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Joe and Pastor Ernie.
Good evening.
Hi.
Another great show to start off the week. And, you know, like I said the other day, the truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, these fools and anybody that follows these fools, it just makes me chuckle that what they pass on as their truth. And I tell anybody right to their face when I see them in public, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your facts. Facts are facts. And, you know, the truth is the truth. And you can spin it any way you want, but the truth is eventually it's going to set everybody free that stands on the truth. And those that don't, then, you know, there's going to be the reckoning, and they're going to be the dust. When the dust settles, they'll be part of the dust of the reckoning. And it's definitely going to happen. I just, January 20th of 25 can't get here fast enough.
All righty. Well, you know, the Bible, as we go through this lesson, one of the things God's Word, the Bible says, is touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed, people that God has called them. I can tell you many, many times where people have made the mistake, and they have gone after God's people, and where, you know, it didn't bode well for them. And I got a feeling that Donald Trump is that those that are going after Donald Trump, Big Fanny and these others, you know, Smith, that they're going to run into some real problems. And I think very shortly, I think it's going to be Jack Smith is going to get into way over his head. And I
this
think
is just my opinion, but I think Donald Trump is sharp as a tack. And I think that he's doing a lot of reconnaissance since the last 4 years he was in there. And he's taking notes. He's watching, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. So he's getting to know everybody by their fruits. He's adding to whatever arsenal he already had of what he knew being part of the Democrat Party. And then when he left there, and there was all these foxes in the hen house, and then the COVID, and he's had so much stuff going at him, and then all the attacks. And, you know, he constantly mentions that during interviews. I watched the Tucker on the other night, the same night as the debate, and he asked him, you know, about that. And he said that people are always asking him, how do you do it? And he says, I have no choice. Who else is going to do it? So he basically, Donald Trump is saying, as for me, there go I.
Yeah, well, here's what he's saying. He said it many times, and then we're going to have to move on, and that is, he said, they're coming after you, meaning us. He said, I'm just in the way, and that's absolutely true. We saw that on January 6th.
One more thing about Ohio, when you guys were talking earlier, Sherrod Brown has got to go in this next election. We got to get him out of there.
He sure does. He sure does.
And Tim Ryan, J.D. Vance took care of that, but we haven't had in Ohio, I just turned 60 in June, we haven't had in Ohio anything like we did when Voinovich was mayor, governor, and senator during the Reagan years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was all the way up to 2011.
Okay, we're going to have a real battle, Timothy. I mean, between now and November 7th, we got to get – it's issue one again, but this time it's no on issue one, and I'll tell you more about that as we go through this.
Well, just like Patton said, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
All righty, very good. Let's go to – Clifford, you're the last call for tonight.
Yeah, hi. You there?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air. Quickly.
Okay, two things. One is the latest Sergeant reports. It's important information in that that one of the doctors on is saying that they're intercepting regular vaccines, like childhood vaccines, and things like luciferase are showing up in that. So that's pretty ominous. So listen to that, the latest Sergeant Reports podcast. She's putting it under a microscope and other people and finding these particles in it. Also, one of the things I was thinking about is if you look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 15 to 20, verses 19 to 20, the Lord is speaking to woman. But one of the things I was thinking about is how many women now have the spirit of murder. You see that in so many forms. You have so many examples of that. Two examples in Canada. Stephanie Green says she's euthanized 400 people as part of Canada's euthanization campaign, bragging about it. She's a doctor. Another one, Ellen Warby, who's also an abortionist.
I know.
She's
We're out of time for tonight, yeah. Cliff. We're out of time, but listen. Thanks for calling. You're right. It's that spirit. It's the Jezebel spirit of control and murder out there today. Alrighty, we're at that time where we come to every night at this time. The most important part of the program, as the lady had said earlier, that invitation, folks. Everything that we've just spoken about tonight will be forgotten someday. Well, except for the scripture. Because we know that in the beginning of Scripture, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. So those will remain, but everything else will be forgotten tonight. But the time will come when the only thing that will matter to you is you're standing with the Lord Jesus. This is reality. Everything that from the very beginning of time, there is nothing more accurate, more absolutely, completely and totally, perfectly accurate than the Word of God. For centuries and centuries, people have tried to disprove it, never been able to. It's been perfectly accurate. It's absolutely, the Word of God is spoken with absolute authority. And so I said all this to say that because there will be no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Right now, tonight, there are no unbelievers. Whether they're in heaven or they're in hell, they all believe now, okay? And you will too. You're going to be a believer, but you're going to either be a believer in glory in a place where it's beyond, where things are better than beyond your imagination, or you're going to be a believer in torment, in a state of torment. That's a reality. That's going to happen. There's absolutely no chance it won't. So here's what you want to do. You definitely want to go to the place of glory, right? And the way you do that is you do this. You say, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you. Just repeat after me, folks. Heavenly Father,
Lord God,
I come to you a sinner.
I come to you a sinner.
Asking for forgiveness of my sins.
Asking you for forgiveness for my sins.
Lord Jesus, I'm asking you. To be the Lord of my life, all of my life.
To be Lord of my life, all of my life.
Without any reservations at all.
Without any reservation at all.
You took my place at Calvary.
You took my place at Calvary.
You paid the price for my sin.
You paid the price for my sin.
And a just and a holy God must punish sin.
And a just and holy God must punish sin.
My punishment was upon you, Lord Jesus.
My punishment was upon you, Lord Jesus.
You did for me what I could never have done for myself.
You did for me what I could never have done for myself.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm a new creature.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
A born-again believer.
A born-again believer.
An heir of the kingdom.
An heir of the kingdom.
A child of God.
A child of God.
And I'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit.
And I will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I am now a new creature.
I am now a new creature.
Well, folks, I hope you said that prayer, because if you have said that prayer, we'd like to know about that too. Now, the phone lines still aren't up at Doers of the Word, but after tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, the phones will be back up.
And if you
yeah, or write us a letter or give us a call and let us know. It's always good to know, because those of you that have said that prayer, every now and then somebody, Joe, will write us and let us know that they said that prayer with us. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that's the most important thing we could do.
It sure is. And just know that's just the beginning of a long road. And the more you travel that road, the closer you get to God, the more you increase in knowledge and love and understanding.
Amen. Well, we're at the end of the rope again tonight. We're at that time where we always start by saying good night.
Good night.
We always say God bless.
Bless.
And then we always say always.
Keep
fighting.
The fight.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.